This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A warm welcome, as ever, to Kerry Dixon for the Kerry Dixon Show. It's me, Stanford Chidge, with the absolute legend that is Kerry Dixon. How are you today, mate? You all right?
Yes, I'm fine, thanks, Dave.
Good stuff. Now, we had Chelsea versus Derby County on Wednesday. I would say it was a completely bonkers match, Kerry. Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it, you know. I thought that Chelsea did quite well, Dave, I've got to be honest. It was a difficult game. It was one that we expected to win, but, you know, against a side that doing quite well in the Championship, beat Manchester United away in the last round, buoyant with the arrival of a new manager, and obviously Frank's connection to Chelsea made it even more intriguing. So, you know, I'm pleased that the way he conducted himself very well, as I would have expected. And he received a wonderful ovation, something which he didn't get necessarily before when he returned with Manchester City, and I'm pleased he got the support from the Chelsea fans that he got that perhaps he didn't get as a player with Manchester City, of course.
Yeah, I was really impressed by that, actually, and as you said, absolutely thoroughly deserved, because the man's an absolute legend for the club, and I don't think we will ever forget that. I thought the match itself was absolutely nuts, but having said that, I thought Derby actually played really, really well. I thought what really intrigued me, I don't know if you would agree with this, but the way I saw it was I thought that they worked really hard to close Fabregas down and you know, the supply chain, if you like, which meant that Cahill and Christensen were having to play out from the back a lot more. And I don't actually think they looked too comfortable doing that. And, you know, I think Derby were very unlucky not to win, actually.
Yes, I thought they pressed well. I think, you know, there's a bit of a saying in life, if you like, about teaching an old dog new tricks. And, you know, in terms of playing out from the back, Gary Cahill's not a bad footballer in terms of his ability. But, you know, it's not something that he's been taught before, and he'll be learning the methods, if you like, of Maurizio Sarri. So, you know, playing out in the back under pressure, not everyone can do it. I mean, certain players will be more comfortable with it and others won't. But nevertheless, Derby did well. Chelsea did even better, I feel, to overcome them. It was a decent game for the neutral. It was fine for Chelsea fans because we got through and we're now in the quarter-final. And it was good for Derby fans as well to go out and their team being pitted against the top-class side away from home and to come away with it with, their colours still intact, if you like, in terms of their credibility.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. And I think, you know, I think, yes, you're right. I think there are players like Cahill who, you know, are not perhaps the best at trying to play it back from, you know, out from the back. But to be fair, you know, you could say that the whole of the defence, you know, Emerson, Cahill, Christensen and Zappa Costa didn't exactly cover themselves in glory. But I think what a lot of people tend to forget is that, A, you know, Derby played to that. This is Frank Lampard and Jody Morris, who know Chelsea inside out, and they played to their strengths and perhaps our weaknesses. And I think the other thing that people forget is that, you know, how many games have Emerson, Cahill, Christensen and Zappa Costa, A, played this season and B, played together? So I suspect they might have been, you know, they're going to be a bit rusty, I would have thought.
Yes, I understand that. You know, but players have to be given games. These lads haven't been able to force themselves into what is becoming pretty much a starting 11 or 12 or whatever, you know, the main bulk of the squad, and it's important that they do get games, so they're going to have to play, whether they're rusty or otherwise. I mean, it's a good opportunity for them, and there were moments that certain things showed up that, you know, they are a bit rusty, they haven't played alongside each other quite too often, but listen, at the end of the day, they overcome that. It's easy to pick fault in a situation. I mean, I hear people say Chelsea were terrible and all the rest of that, the worst performance and so on. I don't necessarily agree. I think to overcome Derby, you know, was what was asked of them, and they accomplished that. And I think you've got to take cup competitions for what they are, and Chelsea are through. Rather than pick individuals and say he was good, he was bad. I thought Zappa Costa, by the way, wasn't too bad. You know, some of his delivery was good from the right hand side, and you know, I didn't think the others were too bad. I think, you know, the fact that Derby played quite well, they had nothing to lose, probably heightened that.
Yeah, I think they deserve credit for that, and I think that's the. I think supporters, we can be very one-eyed about it, and I think sometimes we forget that there is actually an opposition team, you know, doing a good job and doing what they're supposed to do, you know. And as you said, at the end of the day, Chelsea won, and that's all one can really ask for. What did you think of talking of Derby? What did you think of Mason Mount and Tomori, the two Chelsea loanees?
Yeah, I don't think that Mason Mount has been given a lot of coverage, and quite rightly so for his performances. I understand. And by all accounts, he's going to be a very good player. I think they did okay. I didn't think they were outstanding. I didn't think, you know, I just wonder what their thought pattern might have been. But I don't think they played great, and I don't think they played poor. I think they were okay, a bit shaky at the back at times, and okay in midfield, but not outstanding. But I think they did all right.
Yeah, fair point. The other good thing, I think, you know, from the plus side for us, other than winning, you know, we got some more minutes for Loftus-Cheek playing in, you know, playing out wide, actually, on the right rather than in midfield. And I thought Willian continued his really good recent form, because we'll talk about it in a minute, but I thought he was excellent against Burnley.
Yeah, Ross Barkley, Kovacic and Loftus-Cheek is quite a battle at the moment, and it seems that each and every one of them are rising to the challenge. Loftus-Cheek scoring goals from wherever he asked to play, in midfield. Kovacic, deep, tidy, efficient. Ross Barkley maturing, and hopefully from a Chelsea perspective, going to be the player that everyone thought he was going to be at Everton. And I hope he matures and develops into that at Chelsea. Many Chelsea fans would hope that that development would be mirrored by Loftus-Cheek, but as we've already said many a time, one position is being fought out, it appears, between three players, and Jorginho and Kante are occupying the others, and that's pretty much a given, it seems, in the first team, and certainly in Sarri's mind. So, you know, it's quite a battle, but it's a healthy battle, and each of them are rising to the challenge.
They are indeed. And the bottom line is, of course, as we won and we're through, and we've got Bournemouth next, which, you know, I mean, it could have been worse. We could have got Man City away or something like that. So we're in the quarterfinals. One more win and we're in the semis. And you can almost smell the trophy, Kerry. I mean, how important do you think it would be for Sarri to get that first trophy under his belt?
Well, look, you're in it to win it. I've said this many a time, and I'm sure that would not be lost on him. he put out a decent side against Derby, I feel. He could have been a few more youngsters in and out of side, but he put out a pretty strong side, and I think that pretty much shows his intention. I think that against Bournemouth, he'll put out another decent side, and he'll look to win the competition, and why not? I think it was Jose Mourinho's first trophy, if I remember correctly. Would that be right? In his first season.
Yeah, it was. It was. I was there in. Yeah. I was there in Cardiff to see us win it.
Yeah, and you know, it sets you up. It gives you a little bit of confidence. You know, you've got a trophy in the bag in February, if indeed that be the case, and you know, you look forward to the running. If Chelsea manage to maintain their position where they are at the moment, so. Yeah, it is important for him to win a trophy, and it's important for the players who are selected in these games to make sure that they progress and get more game time.
Absolutely right. Well, if people were telling you that that was our worst performance of the season, which, like you, I disagree with, I think a lot of us were thinking that the performance against Burnley was possibly the best performance of the season. Of course, there's a counter-argument that Burnley were just pretty poor, but I'd like to think it was actually a very good performance by us. What do you think, Kerry?
Well, it was. We said it was a difficult place to go. Every place in the Premier League away from home is a difficult place to go. Job accomplished very well and very efficiently. Goals from all over. And, yeah, you know, I was pleased to see the scorers getting the goals they got. And, you know, 4-0 away from home in the Premier League is... it's a great result. Yeah, I wouldn't argue it's our best performance. I couldn't analyse everyone's position because I only watched Match of the Day, and I, you know, I read about it. I wasn't there. But yeah, they seem to have done very well, and the goals were all well taken.
Yeah, they did indeed. I tell you what was really, really pleasing from my point of view. It was kind of, you know, we often worry about how Chelsea are going to do when Hazard's not fit or not playing, and you know, there have been a few occasions this season where we've not looked too good. But I think, in a sense, it kind of proved that we can play well without Hazard, and we can score without Hazard, and we can win without Hazard.
Let me stop you there. I wouldn't get too carried away with that situation. I mean, I'm on record of saying we'll be an ordinary side if Eden Hazard wasn't playing, and, you know, perhaps that's a bit harsh on some of the players. Ordinary is a bit harsh, I have to say. There's internationals and there's quality internationals in the side. But I don't think we'd be anywhere near the side we are without him. I think that he's a wonderful player. I think he did play well against Burnley, but I think Burnley are an average to poor side in the Premier League, along with about four or five others. On their day, they're capable of a decent result, a decent performance, certainly at home, and they've proved before in the past, away from home, that they're capable of getting results. But aside with the ambition of Chelsea, and a club with the ambition of Chelsea would be looking to sweep Burnley aside at every opportunity, and that includes Cardiff, if you like, Huddersfield, and all the rest of them are deemed not lucky to be in the Premiership because they've earned it, but plying the trade in the lower reaches of the Premier League, if you like. And, you know, Eden Hazard wouldn't necessarily be required for them games, and I include Derby County in that, a Championship side. But certainly the likes of Arsenal, Manchester United, Liverpool, Manchester City, Eden Hazard, as he's already proved so far this season, could well be the difference. So I'm thinking about the two games against Liverpool.
Well, I think one person who really did make the difference, and you know, we mentioned him a minute ago, but I thought Ross Barkley, you know, again had an absolutely superb game, and it sounds like Sarri was also, you know, equally effusive about him. I think he called him the complete player, which is a hell of a compliment. And I mean, you know, two superb assists and a goal himself. He scored three goals in three games. And the thought that crossed my mind is, I wonder if he's the goal-scoring midfielder that we've been looking for a couple of years now, certainly since Frank left anyway.
Well, let's get one thing straight. There'll never be another Frank Lampard.
That's true.
Scoring the goals at the rate he got them. But, listen, if Ross Barkley manages to become the player that everyone was talking about as a kid up at Everton, then Chelsea have done a wonderful bit of business in buying him for the price they got him. and taking a chance on a player that was injury plagued. I think he can do it. He won't be a Lampard, but listen, he's capable of getting 15 to 20 goals if he gets himself in the side on a regular basis, gets his confidence up. He's certainly got the talent. Looks a bit, you know, there was question marks of Ronald Koeman up at Everton, questioned his weight and his shape and things like that, and made some derogatory remarks, I would say. But nevertheless, it hurt, and it had an effect on his performances up there as well. But my understanding is that he's been working extremely hard, come back early from for pre-season, got himself really fit, in top shape, and I think he's starting to reap the rewards of that. And long may it continue, but I do feel the way Loftus-Cheek is going in his ambitions, and Kovacic, that he's got a battle on. And at the moment, I think Ross Barkley is just winning it, and he would be first choice out of the three if I was picking the side.
Cheech.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow. Great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jinj?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18+, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, we'll get on to that when we talk about Palace, I think. I mean, you mentioned Loftus-Cheek there. You know, he had a very good game against Bartey Borisov, although arguably they were a bit of a pub side. Still, he scored a hat-trick and you still got to put the ball in the net. Chipped in with another one against Burnley. Got a good 60 minutes there. And as we know, he played most of the game against Derby. I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole, well, is he good enough thing, because we talk about it all the time. But what I would say, I wonder if, you know, the more minutes he seems to be getting, the more comfortable he's beginning to look at this level.
I think he's got his future ahead of him, Loftus-Cheek. And, you know, he is going to be a good player somewhere. Whether or not it's at Chelsea remains to be seen. He's got to get game time. There's a big conundrum, as we've said time and time again, over all the youngsters. They've got to get game time to improve. They're not going to improve with 4, 5, 6 games a season. The reality is, if they're not going to get enough game time at Chelsea to improve, then they really do have to go out on loan and play. You know, he really came into his own and was noticed at Palace. And this is what the sort of situation, if Chelsea aren't going to play him, then for his own development, he's got to be thinking about going out. From Chelsea's perspective, of course, he's a player that could get in the side and could develop, and they might not want him to go out. So it's a bit of a sticky one, and it would need handling tenderly, I should think, by the club and the player.
I think, you know, at least it's encouraging that he's getting some game time at the moment, because I think, as you said, the only way he's going to get better, the only way he's going to be able to prove whether he's ready to play for Chelsea is by getting minutes on the pitch and doing it out there, you know, at the end of the day. So I think that's encouraging from my point of view. The other thing that, I mean, I've got to say this, Kerry, I know it'll wind you up, but I've got to say, because I mean, I've been giving Morata a bit of stick recently, and I think justifiably so.
But... Hang on. Before I'm jumping in. Before you say it, I was just going to say, Dave, once you finish about Loftus-Cheek, talking of improvement, and now I'll let you say, because you're probably going to take the words right out of my mouth. Talking of improvement, well, you can go
yeah,
from there.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, the thing is that, you know, he has also found the onion bag, 3 goals in 4 games, and that's what you want your strikers to do. But actually, the thing that impressed me a little bit more about his performance against Burnley was that his attitude seemed better. He was getting stuck in. You know, he wasn't falling over like he was against Man United the other week, which really wound most of the supporters I know up to distraction. You know, but he was getting on with it. And this, of course, was against Burnley, who don't mind putting their foot in, and it's bloody cold and inhospitable up there. So I think that, you know, having given him a lot of stick, I should also give him a bit of praise, because I thought he did a lot better against Burnley.
Well, I'll back that up and agree with you. Don't ask me to say, is he the finished article or have we signed a new player? Because no, we haven't. But what I was going to say is there is definite signs of progress there. You know, maybe the penny is finally starting to drop. He has got a few goals of late. He is managing to get the nod over Olivier Giroud on a fairly regular basis of late from Sarri, which... obviously, me and you are not the only ones who are noting the progress being made. And who's to say by the end of the season he won't become the player that we hope he will be? We hope so. We hope that he can become that centre-forward. He's not the centre-forward that we signed for £60 million and we hoped at the moment. He's got to get better and he's got to improve. But I'll agree with you. At the moment, there are signs that he can.
Okay, well, there we go. Well, you know, praise where it's due, and I think we're one thing you can say about you and me is we're always honest about that, so there you go. I think just before we get into the whole Palace thing, you know, when we beat Burnley last week, we ended up being second in the table. So, you know, we're still very much, you know, in the top three challenging at the moment. And a thought came across a lot of people, a lot of pundits, certainly last weekend, that, you know, maybe it's time that people started to take Chelsea seriously as title contenders, or certainly challengers, when most people before the season started were saying, well, you know, they'll probably just about get top four. But it's proving very different, isn't it?
Well, yes. Providing they're up there and they're in the mix, then they're definitely challengers. I think the 2 games against Liverpool proved that they can mix it with the best, home and away. Manchester City, I thought, were the better side against us, and I think that Manchester City, at the moment, are the best team in the league. But that doesn't necessarily say that when you look at the league table. We're up there with them. And, you know, you can only beat the opposition in front of you. There might be a time come February, March or something like that. We might be the best team in the league. It can change. At the moment, I think City are, but we're keeping pace with them, and so are Liverpool. And listen, we haven't necessarily got away from Tottenham and Arsenal yet. You know, Arsenal, considering our result, they've hung in there. They've pulled back, and I'm not saying they're the finished article, but they're not too far behind, either.
They aren't indeed. And we've got, interestingly enough, we've got Palace on Sunday, and Arsenal only drew 2-2 with Palace. In fact, I would, you know, I would say that, you know, having watched that game, I was actually doing a show at Love Sport, doing their afternoon show, so I was watching it on the box while I was doing the show. But I thought Palace actually played really, really well, and they really took it to Arsenal. I thought they were very unlucky not to win that match. And in a sense, Kerry, that belies their form, because they're in 14th, they've only won twice, both away, and they've got 8 points, and I don't think they've actually won at home this season. And they've lost to Everton, Wolves, Bournemouth, Southampton, Watford and Liverpool. So, you know, they're losing to teams that are struggling, well, Southampton certainly, as well as teams that are kind of challenging up there. So they're not to be taken lightly, are they, I don't think, on Sunday?
No team is to be taken lightly, you know, but if you ask me, and you're going to ask me, and I'm going to say that we should beat them at home. Palace at their own ground are a slightly different proposition. They seem to raise their game, which is a bit of a slight on them, you know, against the better teams, let's say. The top six, certainly at home, Palace try to pull out all the stops and prove that they can mix it with the best. The slight on them, of course, is that they can't get up for the other Premier League games, which you know, they end up losing, drawing, and frustrate their supporters. But, you know, that's their problem to sort out. And our problem is, can we beat them at home? And I would say quite comfortably, I have to say. They will try and frustrate us. They have got Zaha, who's a tricky customer on his day. He will realise that a certain spotlight might be on him with the game against Chelsea. If he was to shine in this particular game, that spotlight will be glowing even brighter. But he is their main threat. But I feel we've got far too much in our team for them. And I think 3-1 would be a comfortable result for us. And my prediction beforehand will be 3-1.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. I mean, you know, this is one of the ones you would call pretty much a home banker, isn't it? But, you know, as I said, you can't take them lightly. I mean, their form at home, actually, funnily enough, this season has been dreadful, but their form away has been pretty good. And as I said, they weren't half bad against Arsenal last week. And Zaha, as you say, is a very decent player on his day. But like you said, we've got better players, so we should win. Talking of which, our best player, Hazard, should be fit. And of course, if he's fit, he'll start, no doubt. If he does start, Kerry, he's going to equal Zola's 312 appearances. And he'll be the fifth equal all-time overseas appearance maker with Cech, Drogba, Ivanovic and Mikel. It's amazing, when you think of the, you know, Cech, Drogba and Ivanovic and Mikel, how long they were at the club. And how prominently they figured in the club, and Hazard's already up there with them, which surprised me when I read that.
Yeah, I'm not sure all the years. I know Mikel was there a long time. Drogba, not quite sure how many years. Cech, probably 10. And Ivanovic, in and around 9, 10 as well. I think it's 7 years, Hazard. He's been an ever-present, of course he has. When he came to us, he was a good player. He's developed and become an even better player. And at the moment, he's a world-class player. As I would say, nearly all of the previous mentioned players, perhaps not necessarily John Obi Mikel in certain people's eyes, but, you know, certainly in his country's eyes and in Africa's eyes, John Obi Mikel, or John Mikel Obi, whichever you prefer to use, he's a world-class player. So they play a lot of games, and it is a credit to the aforementioned Eden Hazard that he's up there in such a short space of time in comparison to those players.
Absolutely right. Well, let's hope he does start. I mean, basically the rest of the team, I think, picks itself. But again, like you were saying earlier, I'd definitely have Barkley to start ahead of Kovacic or Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah, that's the same for me. It's very hard. When you're fighting for a position, if you're the man in charge of the shirt and you don't do too bad, it's all very well getting substituted. But if you're substituting for having a nightmare, it's a bit different to making way in the last 10, 15 minutes or whatever. And at the moment, Barkley's the man in possession, and it's his to lose, providing he keeps up the form. Sadly for the other two, that then he'll be playing most of the season and they won't.
Absolutely right. I think, you know, the important thing about Saturday, because I think with that sense that actually, you know what, we are up there at the top and we are challenging for the title, even though, you know, there's a long way to go. But we know how this works. We've been there many, many times before, and it's really important to keep these runs going, and it's important to keep that pressure on at the top. I mean, Arsenal are playing Liverpool on Saturday, so, you know, one of them could drop points, which will help us. Spurs have got Wolves away, which is not an easy game. City have got perhaps arguably the biggest banker of the season at the moment against Saints at home. So, you know, we need to keep winning because, you know, at the end of the month, we've got tougher games coming up. We've got Everton at home and got Spurs away. So it's important, isn't it, to win on Sunday?
Oh, it's vital in terms of the trophy. You can't be dropping points at the end of the season. Drop points in November. Can make the difference. And listen, Chelsea have been guilty before of having dodgy Novembers and Decembers in the lead up to Christmas. And they have thrown away their chances of a title push in the second half of the season because of that in the past. So, yes, I'm sure they will be aware of that, the players that have been around in them situations. But, yeah, you just got to take each game as it comes. It's a cliche, I know. You've got to win your games. You've got to perform. You've got to do everything and, you know, put together a run of decent performances yourself, then as a team, and all of a sudden you'll start to look at trophies and the possibility of them towards the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely right. Final thing, because I think we've both nailed our colours to the mast, and I'm pretty much sticking with you on a on a 3-1. I think if Hazard plays, I'd put money on that. But the other thing that intrigued me, and if you want some evidence perhaps that how well we are doing under Sarri's new kind of style of football, there's only one side in the Premier League that has scored more goals than us, and that's Man City, who have got 27 and we've got 24. So, you know, I'd say we are witnessing really good football at the moment with Chelsea. It's an absolute delight to see.
Two things I'd like to add to that. I will agree at times. Eden Hazard is top scorer, I understand, in the Premier League. You wouldn't have thought that when you think of the Aguero, the Canes and all the rest of it. Eden Hazard, top scorer. That might be one of the reasons why we've got the goals that we've got. He's certainly punching above his weight in terms of goals scored in previous seasons, which is a credit to him, and it also shows the development in his game that he's had this season, or appears to have this season, which he possibly didn't have in previous seasons. So credit to him on that one. And you said about Sarri's style. I have to say, I said I'd sit tight about Sarri. I don't know much about him and so on. I still don't know much about him. And you know what? I think that's wonderful. I think it's great. I think it's that he's a quiet manager. I think he's he says what he needs to say. Obviously, he gets his point across to the players. They all seem to like him. They get on well with him. And I think that's an absolute credit. And you don't see him all over the headlines for this reason, for that reason, and so on. I think it's great. It reminds me a lot of a manager that I had, my first manager at Chelsea, if you like, John Neil. Very similar approach. And listen, there's nothing to say, and I've said it in the past, that type of approach is not efficient and it doesn't work, you know, or couldn't work. Because for John Neil, it certainly did work, and obviously Sarri, at his previous clubs, it's worked as well. So let's hope it works at Chelsea, and well done so far.
What a lovely way to end the show, and I love the comparison to John Neil. I think that's very shrewd of you, Kerry, so great stuff. No doubt you and I will enjoy the game on Sunday. That's if I ever actually get to it. I've got to work again before, so I shall be hairing off there to try and make kickoff. But no doubt we'll enjoy it, and hopefully you and I can catch up again next week.
Let's hope so, Dave, and well, have a good weekend, and let's hope a few more points are in the bag by the time we speak again.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.